This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Day is the fourth Sunday in Advent, the last day of Advent. Now we complete the circle. We light the fourth candle in the four candle ring. This year, day is also Christmas Eve. So we are very, very close to Christmas. The intent of this day is the nature of the Redeemer. This is something that is very hard for us to get our minds around. We like binary understandings of things. Like all or nothing. Light switches that are on all the way or off. Dimmers are somehow not the provenance of those who are perhaps a bit dimmer. And in this way, there are two reactions to the notion of a Redeemer. Either give it all up to the Redeemer in this very enthusiastic mode of Christianity, where you accept probably very little, if any, responsibility yourself. Or a more contemporary default way of looking at things, where we really don't want to have a Redeemer involved. So that takes away from our particular power, our ability to determine our own destiny. So we either give our destiny entirely to some Redeemer figure, or we keep it all ourselves. However, as is the way with most things in the world, both of these extremes are utterly wrong and pretty much meaningless. We are here in the world. We have our particular resources for dealing with our situation. Very frequently, we do not apply those resources to dealing with our situation. Do not apply our own ability to try to achieve liberation. In the Gnostic tradition, that just isn't going to work, isn't going to cut it. We are responsible. We cannot simply say, well, I believe somebody else is going to take care of it. And then by magic, by belief that somebody else is going to take care of it, it's taken care of. Although that's all too common, attitude of people in this world isn't a realistic one. You can't say, I'll believe that Jesus is your Redeemer and it's all done. That's all he need to do. Can then go back to being lazy and apologize every now and again when you screw up. Well, there's a reason why that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We must apply ourselves to this process. We must extend ourselves to our limits. If we do not, then why do we need a Redeemer? We're in that contemporary camp who doesn't want to admit that there is one. Because we haven't engaged. We haven't become a part of our own solution. So why would we need any additional help? We could be doing a whole lot more. So this is, you might have noticed, a bit of a childish kind of way of thinking about things. And Gnosticism had a reputation for considering itself to be the mature Christianity. So we need to take a more mature view of what it is we are doing. But when we engage, when we extend ourselves, when we put our abilities to the task of our own liberation, of liberating ourselves, when we reach our limit of our ability to do that, there is something there aiding us. Reminded of a rather silly joke about the lottery ticket. A person who prays that he'll win the lottery. He prays about this every time. Very good person, does all the right things. So eventually, he receives an answer to his prayer, which is, "Hey buddy, help me out. At least buy a ticket." This is the way many people approach religion. They don't do their part. They don't at least buy a ticket. How can you win the lottery? You know? Maybe God can magically make it so that you win the lottery, that there's a ticket appearing in your pocket or something. But that's just stupid to pray for that when you haven't done your bit. There's an easy solution you could take care of yourself. Why pray for it to be resolved? This is the rather silly notion of prayer. If you haven't studied for the exam, you then pray that you'll do well on the exam. It's the lazy prayer. Oh God, can you take care of what I've neglected to do? Thanks. Usually there's some bargaining involved too as to what you'll do thereafter. Like anybody would trust you at that point. Well, you haven't even studied for this exam you're asking me to help you with. What makes you think I'm going to believe you if you can do better from now on? Supposing there is some arbitrator of personal prayer covenants going on somewhere. It's all so ridiculous, it's hard to wrap one's head around. But we can't do it alone. Even if we apply ourselves, and if we do all that we can do, we cannot do it alone. And the reason for this is throughout all the Gnostic scriptures. We are not in a good place. We're not in the perfect paradisical place to be. We are not, oddly enough, the supreme rulers of wherever we happen to be. Because this comes as a shock to some people. And so, we need help. We are limited. We are limited by our situation, first and foremost. We are in a state of slavery. And the nature of this slavery isn't a simple one. It's been described in different ways. But redemption, the redeeming of a human being, is the act of purchasing, paying the price, free somebody from slavery. That's what the word means. Podotrosis in Greek. It's not having somebody who we think is cool, the way Redeemer is sometimes used in modern sense, or someone that we just have to believe in, but it is the actual person who pays the price. In traditional Christianity, this price is to suffer and die and be nailed to something. And this has never made sense to Gnostics. It has also never made sense to Gnostics that this price could be paid entirely by somebody else without you at least buying a ticket, without you contributing, without you doing all that you can do. So as we approach this coming of the light, so soon upon us, passed already through the longest night of the year, we have reached the limit of what we can look to around us. The darkness became as full as the darkness can get. And this cosmic metaphor, the metaphor of the world around us, we've reached the nadir, the darkness. We've reached the limits, what we can stand, what we can do. And what we need now is that Redeemer. This cosmic metaphor is the coming of the light this time of year, the return of the light. But even in the darkness, even in the fullness of darkness, as dark as it gets in the world, the light will still return. The light will always grow. We are not left in the darkness. We are not left to our own devices merely. If we were, we would all be up a creek, be in deep, deep trouble. There is something more. If we engage, if we do our part of this relationship, we reach towards the divine, there is something reaching back to us. It has always been reaching for us, waiting for us to realize it is there. It is there to help. Our readings for today point us in some different directions. The lesson is from Mauna Kea scriptures. And in it, one can reach to that yearning for a redeemer, that yearning for the light, the yearning for a way forward. When one reaches one's limits, there is this deep yearning. And one seeks truly for something more. And in that scripture, something more is sent. The Redeemer is sent. Sent to teach us. And in that scripture it says that he seemed to be born a man, being no man. Now if we look at these things in the traditional way of not including ourselves in the equation, religion is all out there somewhere. It doesn't really involve us, except for if we're expected to believe some things, perhaps about out there as well. And then maybe be sorry every now and then. It's usually good too. If we take that view, then this is what's theologically, traditionally called docetism. There never was a human redeemer on this planet, that there was just an appearance of one. Well, we can do that if we want to. It's an intellectual game. It amuses some people. But if we do that, where are we? This is just an intellectual game. It's what Hermann Hesse called the glass bead game. It's a way of arranging ideas, and it's one in which you're not involved. If instead we look at this from our perspective, is the Redeemer a man, a human being, in a particular time in history, a place in history, and therefore inaccessible to us? From Gnostic perspective, that would be a lot less useful than a Redeemer we can touch, who touches us. And the Redeemer who is present within us, whom we can touch through ourselves. When we look at a Redeemer a few thousand years ago in a distant part of the world, we have to wonder, what's that to us? It's a good question. Say, well, he paid the price for the entire world's sins. Okay, then what's that still to us? I mean, there was a bill, somebody paid it, what do I care? Well, it doesn't apply to you unless you believe it. That's kind of, okay, it's not kind of, it's outright weird. If, however, it is about us, the Gnostic tradition has always asserted that it is about us. Fundamentally, primarily. And if that is the case, then the Redeemer is something we experience. It is not merely a human being at some point in time. We can see that Redeemer there as a distant echo, but the real presence is within us. And when the Redeemer comes to us, when we have reached our limit, it is joyous. But if we haven't extended ourselves, if we haven't done our work, well, it isn't the case that the Redeemer isn't there. We just haven't walked over the hill to see. We're just content to think that we are in charge, everything is fine in the universe, and there's no need for any of this stuff. When we accept our limitations through action, when we receive that gnosis of the presence of Redeemer, then we truly understand the nature of the Redeemer. Until then, we don't. We have ideas. We have images. And these are useful. We should never be content with them. The lesson says that the Redeemer brought us many things. Brought us hope, faith. The realization of God as truth, gnosis of God. The ultimate truth of things isn't saying something is true, it is knowing it is true. You've experienced it. And from your experience, there can be no other form for this. If something can be one way or another, it's not ultimately true. Might be a good opinion, might be a bad one. Might be a useful understanding, might be a useless understanding. Until you've dug down, where there can be only this thing, an isomorphic truth, is there really truth? And the Redeemer teaches us of God as truth, not as a belief, not as something we have to assert and proclaim and convince ourselves and others of the truth, but truth in that deepest sense, in the sense of gnosis, is the truth that we are, the truth that the very nature of our being, that can be no other way. The Redeemer is a truth, one we must dig at, work at, reach our limits in considering, stretch ourselves out to try to reach towards. If we can do that, we will know the Redeemer in truth. You will have gnosis of the Redeemer, of redemption. We will know what it all is. If we do not, all we have are our ideas, our beliefs. They may have some foundation, but take them away, and we are unchanged. Take away the truth. You cannot still exist, still be who you know yourself to be. So these are very deep things, not to be brushed aside, not to be proclaimed by those who think they know, not to be placed in history somewhere distant from us, or in theological ideas and debates of centuries past, but here, now, in us. So may we do our part. May we reach our limits and know the nature of the Redeemer in truth, and then be redeemed. So may the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth send upon us the name of his own. Amen. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.